Finally, the stories of the Old Testament provide a rich cultural resource. The stories of Adam and Eve, of Cain and Abel, of Jacob and Esau, of David and Jonathan, of Jonah and the great fish. The New Testament is replete with the kinds of vivid stories and narratives that are lacking in the New Testament and yet are taken over by Christians as part of their scripture. And these provide a rich resource for cultural exploitation. So already in the second century, we find Christian apologists, those who were writing in defense of the Christian religion, confidently appropriating Platonic philosophy in a very explicit fashion. Justin Martyr, for example, follows a sort of standard philosophical commonplace when he talks about himself as having gone through the investigation of several philosophical schools, trying each one and finding it inadequate until he came to Platonism, which he found the best of philosophies, and then he found Christianity, which was an even better philosophy. But from the start, Platonism was the form of Greek philosophy that Christians found most amenable. Plato's dialogues offer several very important perspectives that Christians found conformable to their own beliefs. First, Plato placed revelation as superior to reason. In his argument with Protagoras, Plato argues that it is not humans who are the measure of all things, but God is the measure of all things. And Plato has a very strong admiration for enthusiasmos, for that possession of the spirit that comes upon poets and prophets. Secondly, Plato's understanding of eros is not simply of a sexual desire, but rather a desire of the human spirit for the divine. And so eros is one that leads us to the divine. This is taken over particularly by St. Augustine in his Confessions as an understanding of how the human spirit longs for God. As he says in the very first paragraph of his Confessions, "You have created us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." This is a very Platonic understanding of rightly ordered eros. Thirdly, in Platonism, the spirit is superior to the body. And again, this fits beautifully with Christianity. And finally, Platonism even offers a demiurge, who is at work in the creation of the world. Well, this fits splendidly with the Christian understanding of the Christ as already pre-existent and involved in the creation of the world in the beginning. So Platonism becomes the favorite Christian philosophy in its earliest centuries. And Christians even began to portray themselves in terms of a philosophical school. By the third century, Origen of Alexandria is able to enter into a very lengthy and complex argument with the Neoplatonic philosopher Celsus on pretty equal terms. Celsus had written a rebuttal of Christianity called The True Discourse, and in his work against Celsus, Origen enters into a long, philosophically involved debate in defense of Christianity, fully confident that Christianity was the equal of Neoplatonism at the philosophical level. And also, by the end of the second century and the beginning of the third century, we find the development of Christian art among wealthier Christians, especially funerary art, in the decoration of tombs and in the decoration of sarcophagi. So we have an interweaving of biblical and pagan themes, so that sometimes it's difficult to figure out whether it's Pan who's being portrayed or the Good Shepherd. Sometimes it's difficult to know whether what is being portrayed is the pagan rendition of Sol Invictus, the inconquerable sun, or the resurrection of Jesus. But some themes are very clear. John the Baptist appears. Jesus sharing a meal with his disciples, and, yes, Jonah and the great fish as a symbol of the resurrection is portrayed already in the beginning of the 3rd century as forms of distinctively Christian art. And, of course, the very earliest representation we have is the figure of the cross scratched on the wall of a catacomb. And in connection with the cross, we have that distinctive slogan, Ichthus Jesus Christos Theou Huios Soter, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Soter. That is an acronym which spells fish. And therefore, the symbol of the fish is a very early pictorial symbol for Christianity.